Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome everybody to the Bounce for Overstone Podcast. It is Scotty Villa, it is Monday Night Mike, it is UK Tom, and boys, we are post-SummerSlam now, and I do this all the time, I build it up in my head, and then when I get talking to it, I'm like, man, that was such a good show, I'm just kind of lost for words. It was such a fun show. I should probably ask you guys, how you doing? Everyone all right? You good?
Yeah, we're good. SummerSlam.
We're good. Get past it. It's SummerSlam.
So the consensus while we were all watching it was, this is awesome. This is great. This is fun. I love this. There wasn't a whole lot of anything where like, man, that sucked. There are some nitpicks, because there's always nitpicks, but that's what they are. They're nitpicks. They're tiny little bullshit things that really don't fucking matter, because how awesome was this show?
So I'm saying one of the best SummerSlams of all time.
I would probably be one of those people.
I think I'm there too. I really, really am. I go back, and you guys know me. I love my nostalgia, my past. I love those old early 90s SummerSlams. But man, this one from start to finish, it hit everything that's within my fandom. It was such a good show, well-built card, well-delivered in every aspect. I think it's easily in my top three. Easily in my top three, but could be top two, one and two there.
I think one of the things I really liked, and it's actually only just popped into my head right now, and that's that they put Jelly Roll on first.
Yeah.
And usually when they have these musical people, A, I never have a fucking clue who they are. Like, I'm vaguely aware of Jelly Roll. But I like that he was on first, because when they put the musical stuff between matches, it kind of takes me out a little bit.
I agree. I agree too. One, there's nothing vague about Jelly Roll. Everyone can see and
can't miss Jelly Roll.
Can't miss Jelly Roll.
Also, his drummer must be some distant relative of Otis.
Man, how good is Jelly Roll's drummer? Like, the second I saw him, I'm like, yep. Yeah. That's my way to start the show. Pop of the night right off the go.
It was, man, he's his own legend. But I don't really have an opinion either way. I don't ever want musical performances in my pro wrestling show, but they got it out of the way, so I guess that's good.
I don't mind it if it's the the theme of the event.
Okay, yeah.
If it's like Jelly Roll was, and he's singing the song for SummerSlam, I'm fine with it. But when they have random ass, like, I don't know, people turning up, and I'm like, who the fuck are you? Like, Machine Gun Kelly did that a couple years ago.
Yeah,
I'm like, why are you here?
I agree. That's a good call.
I think the point, like, you both kind of are making is that the entertainment part of World Wrestling Entertainment is now the backseat to what we're seeing on major shows. So you're right. Like, yeah, it is the biggest party of the summer. I always like that moniker for the show. Like, I do. Like, I think it's great and it's fitting. But you're right. To put a musical guest in the middle of what was happening on that card would have fucking gassed people out. Like, what? Like, now Jelly Roll's coming out. But you're right. Have the anthem. Have the song come out. Let's go. That's done. Let's get into pro fucking wrestling. And that's what they did on Saturday night. They made a pro wrestling show, and it was a hell of a card.
And I think now would be a good time to mention it before it gets lost in the card a bit later. Jelly Roll's chokeslam on Austin Theory. My pop of the night.
Never gonna not hear about how Jelly Roll has to wrestle fucking Austin Theory. That so our wrestling chat is ruined for at least the next year.
Now, something else will distract me soon. But but currently, there are two things I want in life, and that is Jelly Roll versus Austin Theory and Rhea Ripley versus Dominic Mysterio. I want both of those things, and I want them at WrestleMania.
You heard that, Fed. Give Tom what he wants. He's a man of the people.
I'll stick to my original opinion of it all. Jelly Roll is one of the grossest people on the planet. But
I mean, I'm not disagreeing, but you can't say you don't want to see that man in spandex.
I can and will say that. Yeah, no, I definitely will. I don't want to see that man in spandex.
He's for sure saying that.
Yeah.
You can wear Rikishi's gear.
No, I'll give him a King Mabel. He can wear the big.
Nah, I'm into Rikishi's gear. I'm in for that Mania match if he's wearing Rikishi's gear.
If he's got that many tattoos on his face, which I'm not against, but imagine how many he's on his ass. He's probably just.
Well, we're going to find out at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Tom's booked it. All right, guys. It's a big card, lot to get through. So let's start with our opener. It was Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship.
I at first was like, I don't want this to be the opener. I just don't think it fits there. Boy, was I wrong. I was completely wrong about that because that was a hell of an opener. Those women worked very well. It was Rhea's first match back since injury. It was Liv's best match I've ever seen her have. That's my opinion of it. I'm not a big Liv Morgan fan. I don't think she's good on the mic. And I think she's okay in the wrestling ring, but what the fuck do I know? But this was a very good, very entertaining match. I thought they opened the show very, very well.
Agreed.
Hard hitting talk from Tom there.
Well, you know what? This where I'll disagree. I don't think these gals work particularly well together. And I think when you're opening a show like SummerSlam, I was hoping for a bit more. Felt soft, looked soft. The best part about the match was, again, WWE's king at it. Fucking storytelling. Yeah. Because the end of this match is what makes you go, fucking yeah, okay, like this is coming full circle, this is paying off. Dom coming out, looking to be in mommy's corner the entire time. So at first it's like, shit, like Tom's going to be right, like they're going to keep them together. Like they had me hook, line, and sinker, and like, yep, they won't do it. When the moment came where the chair was slid in for the final sequence, I was like, holy fuck. Like, this is happening. Like, the Judgment Day stuff is coming to a head, like, tonight. This is it. And I thought the end was really great. I think what's going to happen moving forward is going to be really great. I think there's good potential for great mixed tags. They obviously got me to fucking tune into Monday Night Raw, which, guess what, in my house pro wrestling podcast faithful, never again. Never again. But I think it got the crowd back in it. Like, I know they seemed hot. Like, obviously Rhea comes out and she's loved, absolutely loved. But I just did not feel it during the match. But in that last five minutes, I was like, oh shit. Like, this is really paying off for what you're moving forward to.
So I'll agree. Like, the first half of the match was not great, but the crowd response to Rhea, I was letting that go and enjoying it. For me, it picked up after she did the shoulder into the announce table thing, mm-hmm. Which I thought was cool. And the fact that she nearly fucking knocked out Pat McAfee doing it was quite funny too. Obviously, as I said last week, I wanted Dom and Rhea to stay together. I'm not actually too upset that they didn't, because I'm now real interested in to see where it goes.
Yeah. It's great programming moving forward. And I think we all picked Liv.
We
to,
did.
To retain. So
we
and
did.
I also saw something on Twitter that made me laugh a lot. And it was like, Dominic Mysterio is the first heel to turn heel.
That is good. And I mean, like, a little more loose-lipped. Like, we're seeing that edge of, like, Pat McAfee calling Dominic a piece of shit. Like, that kind of stuff is slipping out, and it just feels normal in the show. It's I'm not like in the PG era where you'd be like, oh, did they say it? Like, now it's just like, yeah, you should say it. Like, it should be natural to come out. Yeah. So I did like that. But obviously, I think the story stuff moving forward with Liv and Dom, and then what's going to happen with Rhea, obviously, after Monday, I think we kind of know where that's going.
I think we got more of that piece of shit stuff coming too, with them going to Netflix, because Netflix are not going to care.
No, God, no. But I mean, like, Netflix also wants the views, right? So you're going to try to tailor to every member of the family still.
But does Netflix even have like ratings and stuff?
They
like,
do. Yeah, everything's rated. But yeah. I mean, for them at this point, your idea is that the whole audience, right? We want the whole household watching.
Yeah.
I think they're just taking it from TV. But granted, like, kids are hearing way worse. They have phones. Calling someone a piece of shit at this point, like, is that the deal breaker, parents? Is that what you're gonna complain about?
It's not suck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people take this whole Netflix thing way too, like, they think it's just gonna go to blood and guts and gore.
No.
Which is ridiculous. Like, the WWE still has a lot of advertisers that like things PG. And I don't think that's going to change too much when it comes to that aspect, but they're going to push the envelope a lot more like than they have for the last 15 years of the PG era. So, and we're seeing that right now, but I don't think we're going to get full blown ECW style promos and matches it like once it's going to Netflix.
So I was reading, and I don't remember where, but basically the understanding at the moment is that Raw and SmackDown will be a little bit more family friendly. And the quote-unquote pay-per-views, because they're all on Netflix, so it doesn't matter, will be more, hey, if there's going to be blood, it's going to be at one of the pay-per-views, or the language is going to be a lot looser.
I mean, you would assume that would be the way to go.
Yeah.
But I think Hunter's slow into it, right? Like, you're letting moves happen that probably wouldn't happen under the Vince era. Like, this is all coming slowly. So it'll be exciting to see how they ramp it up, or if they ramp it up.
It sounds like we're just going to get the best of every pro wrestling era.
Yes.
Like, we're going to get a bit of the Attitude Era. We're going to get a little bit of the PG era, the New Generation era. Like, we're going to get it all in one beautiful package. So just sit back and enjoy pro wrestling. But real quick, did you guys enjoy the creativeness, the creative that they got for how they were going to split up Dom and Liv? Did you like that he threw the steel chair into the ring, Liv used it, and then we've got like the, oh fuck, okay, he did that on purpose? Yes. Or would you have liked to have seen a more
deliberate? I think that was the way to do it, because I think that moment after is just that dirty fucking Dom kiss
and
outside the ring. That's the heartbreaking moment. Yeah. Right.
And it links back to King of the Ring, where he did it to Becky.
Yeah.
Yes. Good call. So, good call. Nice.
Moving on. Way to think with your heart. Maybe Scotty V is about to lose his smile. It's Braun Breaker versus Sami Zayn.
After the day I've had, we're talking about this. That's what we're doing now.
Yeah, it's on the card. Yes. Sorry. short but sweet. I don't know if you guys agree or not, but I thought it probably could have used another 5 minutes.
I agree, but way too short for a mid-card title match at one of the big four.
I agree in the realm of it took Sami Zayn taking as long as it did at WrestleMania to beat Gunther. So now you're in a way positioning Braun Breaker as a bigger beast than Gunther was at the height of his Intercontinental Championship title reign. So I would have liked a little bit more of that match. We all knew that Braun was most likely getting it. We all picked Braun Breaker to win the title.
We did not.
No, wait, well, hold on 1 second.
He did. I think Scotty ended up picking Braun.
Oh, like, I did. Yep. I got all three.
He didn't go with his heart.
No.
He was sure that.
Then why were we mocking him so much? Now I
feel
bad.
Because he's a fucking baby about Sami Zayn.
I'm not a baby about Sami Zayn. Look, Sami Zayn is the fucking ultimate underdog
oh
that
my
deserves
God.
the people that continue to be behind him after everything he's done, not even just including the Bloodline stuff, everything he's done from NXT on up. The guy's worked his ass off, went through the entire shitty Vince era where he was up and down. Look what he did during the pandemic. He kept us entertained with the whole conspiracy.
I can hear the whole fucking song and dance. He's three losses away from being like Finn Balor, a fucking loser.
I'm going to allow you to move on from this. We're going to continue about that.
I'll just say that the big one is, like, why didn't you just do this the first time? Like, why did we have to wait for Braun's moment to be at SummerSlam?
Like, because it makes it a bigger moment.
I suppose, but that loss happened. Like, yeah, I think it's going to be into, like, a whatever kind of championship run with the IC.
I don't know what to expect from this run. I really don't, because you've built Braun as this somewhat unbeatable beast. It seems like they're going to get Ilya Dragunov in there. Because I don't think anybody's really brought up wanting to be Intercontinental Champion. I thought maybe Jey Uso was there, but I have a feeling Jey Uso and Sammy are going to get involved back with that Bloodline storyline.
I think so.
Eventually,
too.
I think they're going to be kind of whatever on Raw for the next couple weeks, but I think that's coming. But Sammy had a great run from Mania to here. I really enjoyed it. I always made sure I was locked into my TV when Sammy was on. I've always loved his matches. And I want bigger and better. You don't have to give me the middle finger. You don't have to give me the middle finger.
Fucking wipe your tears about it already.
As much as I give him shit, I do like Sami Zayn a lot. My issue is that he should never have been the one to beat Gunther.
Fucking no kidding.
And so this whole reign of the reign of terror that we've just had to sit through from Sami Zayn should never have fucking happened.
I can't wait till Sami Zayn has one of the best moments in pro wrestling history, and then you guys will want to jump on this bandwagon. And I don't know if I'm going to open the door. I don't know if I'm going to open the door.
I just said I liked him.
I will
after
never,
the fact, after he's already
ever
lost.
Because of this episode, ever be on board,
Mike.
Ever.
Hey, Mike, do you have a Sami Zayn T-shirt at all in your collection?
Tucked away in the closet.
But do you have a? It's just a yes or no question. Do you have a Sami Zayn T-shirt?
I do.
Oh,
yes, I
okay.
do.
Okay, interesting.
I was a day one Zaniac before they ruined him.
Just to leap to Mike's defense here, I have a fucking Young Bucks T-shirt, so that means nothing.
That means a lot, actually. That means so much. Maybe you guys should try.
All right, no more Sami Zayn talk. I'm getting all fired up here. That being said, I don't think the match was bad. I really do think it was good.
Yep.
Yeah. Good for Braun. It's going to be exciting what they do with him. But as of now, after Monday Night Raw, because fucking what? babyface promo, I thought whatever. So yeah. I guess I'll wait week to week via Twitter, finding out what Braun Breaker does. Moving on. Logan Paul versus LA Knight.
Yeah.
For the United States Championship. Guys.
My match of the night.
I am in a full 100% agreement. This is match of the night.
I don't think I'm there.
No, Scotty V is not there. Of course he's not.
I'm not there with that, but it was a great match where I definitely popped a few times from a few of the things that these guys did. Guys, we got what we wanted. A really good LA Knight match. And
we got LA Knight working.
Yeah.
Like, looks like a fucking professional wrestler when he was in there. And moves they did. Just perfect pacing to the match as well. Logan Paul is a motherfucking star, and it kills me that he is just going to be off TV for the next foreseeable future, because he is.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. I gotta give Logan Paul a big fuck you for some of the things he did on Twitter before SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's fair.
We don't get political on this show, but fuck you, Logan Paul, for that. But also, that Orihara moonsault he pulled out where he did the flip to the floor. Like,
man,
I was off my sofa, and I mean, I'm fat and lazy with a bad back, so that's not easy to do.
Just jammed a bunch of red swan in him too.
don't make me leap when I'm full of pizza. It's not good. Also, kudos for Logan Paul for even getting up from that superplex that turned into a brainbuster, because that was fucking brutal. Oof,
scary. That was scary.
But it looked awesome.
It looked awesome.
The danger behind it made it look fucking awesome. And he's still like, he ate it in a good spot. Yep. He's banged up. There's no doubt about it. Like, Logan put in the work LA Knight also put in the work, and it's the first time I think on this show we've said it about in-ring ability for LA Knight, but he really, really did.
Can I nitpick for a second?
You always do. I mean, sure.
If you're going to do a spot where you're going to break the window of someone's vehicle.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Gimmick the fucking window so it breaks on the first try. You made LA Knight look like a chump because he had to hit that thing two or three times.
Broke it on the second one.
He's a superstar. Look at the guy. He's jacked. He can't break a window on the first one.
Don't gimmick the window because I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, but I think that's the better moments too. You're right. Gimmick the window and not pull stab it.
was LA Knight's fault.
Yeah,
give the guy a bat. Give him something.
Okay, you're right. Point. You're right on that. But just the move alone, I'm like, that's how you'd go to break a window? That's not my choice. That's not how I would choose to break the window.
I mean, you're from Regina. You know
that. I've smashed some shit in my day.
I mean, have you seen what's going on in the news in the UK at the moment? I think we know how to smash some shit up too.
I will never doubt your guys' ability to break shit. Not fucking once, but that was my nitpick. I'm like, oh, you guys made him look like a fucking chump. Either pre-record that and gimmick the window or fucking don't do it at all. Cause I was like, oh God, this is LA Knight exactly. Almost there. He kind of gets it, but
go ahead, Tom.
My little thing. Why was Machine Gun Kelly there? And I think I've said Machine Gun Kelly more times today than I have ever in my life.
Cleveland local as well.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, and I mean, like, good pop for the crowd. Like, granted, like, Logan had the right heat in the hometown. They fucking hated him. Yeah. And it's awesome.
After he did the springboard moonsalt,
the Orihara wasabi moonsalt?
Sauce is whatever it's called.
I don't know.
The Cleveland crowd was still was chanting, "You still suck."
Yeah,
like that's how much he was hated, and it's perfect because that usually doesn't happen. Like when they do Bash in Berlin, Gunther is not going to be hated. They're going to cheer him all goddamn match long, but Logan Paul was hated in Cleveland because of the work he's done on TV and because he's a YouTube guy. So it worked
with that point. Let's give it to the Feds fans. They get wrestling and they buy into characters and what they should be. AEW's in a spot too, where it's like you fucking cheer a bad guy. You're in that. I love a heel too. Right. But the Feds fans get the story and they want to be a part of it. They want to say, fuck you to the bad guy. And elevate the good guy. It helps if you're a viewer who just tuned into SummerSlam. If this didn't get you back on board to be like, I'm kind of interested in this wrestling thing, I don't know what else can do it.
Real quick before we go on to the next match, we all picked LA Knight. LA Knight is your new United States champion.
Yeah.
What does LA Knight have to do to not fuck this up? What does he have to do, or where does he need the help to continue to be in the ring? And because his attitude, his perception is he's a badass good guy, right? But he's not that kind of badass with his moveset in the ring. There's not a lot of pops. You're not getting a lot of Stone Cold-esque beatdowns or anything like a normal badass good guy would do.
He needs to keep his working boots on and just work with whoever he's in there with.
I'm going to tell you, he better be on every fucking house show getting in the reps.
Which sounds like it's going to be Andrade, and Andrade will make him work. So,
but there you go. Let's match him up with someone who can fucking go and get the best out of him, right? It's weird that Logan Paul, as new as he is, got that out of LA Knight. And on also, Andrade now?
And even
if
they put him in with Carmelo Hayes, who I'm not the biggest fan of, but he can work. They put him in with Carmelo Hayes, even if, like, LA Knight beats Carmelo in his first defense, they get a good match out of it. So just keep him with people he can work with.
Hell, I'd on house shows, I'd put him in tag team matches and team up with Cody. Get that extra rub.
Fuck off.
No, Cody Rhodes, American
Nightmare. Get him with Cody.
Get that extra rub. Get that
guy in
there working.
We're moving on. We're going to end up talking about the American fucking doofus pretty quick. Next up, we had Bayley versus Nia Jax for the WWE Women's Championship.
Guys, this rivaled my match of the night.
This was fun.
Yeah. I feel bad because the crowd just came off LA Knight and Logan Paul. So it took them a little bit to get back into it. But they did get back into it, I felt, near the end.
That powerbomb on Nia Jax from Jamie, that got them back.
That got them back immediately.
Got me back, too.
Yeah, true. I can't argue that. It was a little flat at the beginning. But by the end of the match, I believe we all said that's the best Nia Jax match we've ever seen.
Oh, easily.
And that's back-to-back matches with talents we don't usually praise in ring ability. And but Nia Jax put her fucking boots on and said, I'm going to work tonight.
And that's the second time this year we've all said that that was Nia Jax's best match, because in Australia with Rhea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now it's a run I worry about.
I don't know
if I like the Tiffy time stuff, because you know where that's going to go for the cash in. Like, it, that story kind of writes itself. Keep them together until they break them apart with that cash in.
I'm not expecting a long title reign from Nia Jax, and I'm okay with that, because they gave her the belt to begin with, and that's what I wanted.
Great work for Bayley. Sorry, Scotty, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think the creative will be there for her. I think she will do great work with the creative that's given to her. I agree, we're kind of getting a bit of a predictable, oh, my best friend has the Money in the Bank briefcase. We're going to get that eventually, but I think they're going to find a little bit of a different way to give us the end result of that. Good match. Good match.
I'm wondering if Nia drops the title to somebody else and then Tiffy immediately cashes in on them.
I mean, Charlotte Flair is going to be coming back soon, I'd imagine. So she's the only one that I could see being that person right
now.
Don't
put another fucking title on Charlotte Flair.
We'll get
give it
that
to Reed. Moving on
quickly.
Next up, we have CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre, the match we were all waiting for, with, of course, special guest referee Seth Rollins. Guys, this is a hell of a performance.
This is a great match.
Loved it.
My worry going in is I really didn't want CM Punk to get hurt again. Ring rust. He's been off for 8 months or however long it's been since the Rumble. His only singles match in WWE was a house show in December. So I was worried about all that. I thought they brought a very safe match for CM Punk and Drew McIntyre to work, plus making it look very personal. A lot of, you know, hockey fight style punches. And I enjoyed that physicality. So here's my big thumbs down on this match. And I love this match. Punk talked about leading up in this match that we're going to see violence that you've never seen before. That's what he's going to bring to Drew McIntyre. We didn't get an ounce of anything like that. So I heard him in, I think it was even on the pre-show, he'd even said, I'm going to bring the kickoff show, I'm going to bring violence like you've never seen before. And we got none of that. But the story within the match had me hooked completely. I like the bracelet thing. Some people don't. I like it because that's what means a lot to him right now. So great match. I really, really enjoyed it.
I agree that it was a safe match for Punk, but they formatted, or whatever you want to call it, the match in a way where it didn't always seem overly safe. Mm-hmm. So I liked the bracelet stuff. I also thought Seth was good in his referee role. I liked the little callbacks to 97 with Taker, Shawn, and Brett.
Yeah.
That was fun. I was surprised that CM Punk laid down, because, I mean, Mike and I both picked that this wouldn't have a winner.
Yeah, you did.
And there was moments where it felt like it was going to be it.
I love that Punk dropped Seth with a GTS, which is what cost him the match.
Yeah.
Just a very good story match, which still had good action. I liked it a lot.
Fuck Pepsi, Phil.
Pepsi.
Drink a Coca-Cola, man. Get some balls. again, you're right. Saying safe is fine. Both guys did the worst job of building you up for this. It's like, I'm going to bring violence like you haven't seen before. Drew McIntyre straight up said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to put him in the ground. I'm like, oh, so you're going to murder him, and this guy's going to bring violence. Neither happened. But I'm happy to see this story go, because I didn't want this to be it.
Yeah.
And it was my favorite part of the Monday after was that stuff.
The Bronson Reed part of the Monday
just
after
me
was
jumping
my favorite.
In. Cue that fucking leap of Bronson Reed, the best all time camera work in WWE history, hands down.
Kevin Dunn would have ruined that shot.
Yeah. Oh, you would have never saw it.
Yeah.
But no, it was good. I think the fans were really stoked. Obviously, you're getting to see CM Punk pop.
Do we think we see AJ, CM Punk's wife, at any point to get involved in this story? Not to Rumble, nothing like that, but to get involved in this story.
This story, no.
Don't think so?
No.
She'll be back.
She'll be back. Not but this story.
I agree. I think at this point, what is Drew going to punt fucking Larry? Like, is that the next logical step? Is another like, guess who's at your house, CM Punk? One of those? Or you're like, eh, let's not do that.
Interesting. No, Ace Steel will bite him if he goes anywhere near Larry.
Again, really enjoyed the match. I thought it was well played out. I thought it was a safer match for CM Punk's first match back, which I guess I have to appreciate. I just did wish they didn't build up the hype of violence so much between the two.
I still liked it. I still like the story.
Story's great. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of fucked up on Monday that Bronson Reed came in and just whooped Seth. Just crushed him flat as a pancake.
Loved it.
Because I want, like, it's great for Bronson Reed, right? Like, this is the moment where it will maybe stick. Like, you're going to push him and it'll work. But I like Seth in the fucking mix of this Drew and Punk story. Yeah. I really do. Because I really want that to be bad blood. Is all three of them.
I'm wondering if they're saving Punk and Seth for Mania.
It feels like it is with the Bronson Reed stuff where they're just, let's hold off.
Which is maybe where Becky and AJ get involved. We get a tag match.
Shit. Great booking.
It's a tag match. I think at some point one of those two will be World Heavyweight Champion again. And I think Punk will finally get his main event at WrestleMania for a championship. That's what I think.
I think we get that tag match at some point. Maybe not at Mania.
Yeah, do it at Rumble.
Yeah.
See, that's where I think it kicks off. I think Becky returns in the Rumble. And then five or six numbers later, here comes AJ, and it all boom.
You're probably better served, especially AJ, like you're coming out at the Rumble. Like, why waste that? Advertise it? Like, use it at the Rumble.
I mean, that's a good call. That
last year.
I mean, Punk will be hurt by then anyway, so don't give a shit.
Don't put that in the universe.
It's always in the universe.
I mean, fair.
Oh, man. Great match, though. We all got no points on that one because I picked Punk. You guys picked no contest, so we're schmucks.
Keeping me right on top of the mountain.
We get a point for that.
You absolutely do not get a point for that.
Why not?
No.
You
handed out points?
I just wanted Scotty to yell at us.
Jesus, you guys.
Yeah, look at how fired up he got. It's like the Sami Zayn conversation.
My heart's going.
Oh, yeah. Losing his smile. Show by show, he's losing that smile. Coming up next, we had Damian Priest versus Gunther for the World Heavyweight Championship.
My match of the night.
Huh.
I really, really enjoyed the match. The physicality was there for me. And Priest brought it to Gunther, which I did not expect. I thought Gunther would have to bring that out of Priest. And then Priest would be throwing receipts back kind of thing. But Priest brought it. And I liked seeing that side of Damian Priest. I thought it was probably what's been missing for him that didn't really all fully click with me. And the guy went. The guy could go. He was throwing them. So I liked it.
Well, Tom was quiet there, so that's unusual. He's really thinking. There must have been a meeting with LA Knight and Nia Jax and Damian Priest in the back. They're like, this is where you fucking losers are. This is where you should be in terms of in-ring ability. Damian Priest looked great. Size matchup was awesome, but you're right. Physicality was there. They both were taking fucking licks. It helps that Gunther was already beaten up going in. So when he got color on his chest, you're like, makes Priest look pretty goddamn good to bring color out of him.
When have we ever seen color on Gunther?
So, right?
That was awesome. I mean, I think it goes without saying that I love this match because I don't think I've ever said anything remotely negative about Gunther and probably never will.
I don't think I have either.
seeing that guy, I think I put this in our group chat, but seeing that guy with a world championship around his waist after I used to watch him wrestle in a very small pub was a really, really cool feeling. And I'm just very happy that he's champion. It was cool to see Ginny when he went over to see her at the ringside too. That was cool. Hell of a match. The physicality out of Damian Priest, like you guys mentioned, was great. A lot of people didn't like the finish. And yeah, I knew that was you guys. See, I kind of did.
Okay.
The one thing I didn't like, and it's a nitpick I have a lot in modern wrestling, and that is, like, when when Priest put him down with the South of Heaven or whatever the hell they call it, and then rolled him towards the fucking rope, I just about had an aneurysm. But like, and yeah, we know positioning is important, but you guys are in a world championship match. If you can't make it work from where you are and you're going to fucking tell us exactly what you're going to do by rolling him towards the rope, then get the fuck out of the ring, apart from Gunther.
Gunther should have just rolled towards the ropes himself. Like, after taking that move, he should have just rolled that way. But
I don't think Priest gave him a chance. Like, he was rolling him before he was even fucking down.
I'd have to go back and watch, but it's my match tonight. I love the match. I thought it was great. I did not like the creative that they got. Guys, this is the implosion, the complete breakup of the Judgment Day group, and it's Finn just putting Gunther's foot on the rope. That's kind of fucking lame. Guys, call it like you see it. That's pretty lame. This group finally is imploding. We're finally getting true colors from Finn Balor, from Dominic Mysterio. And that's what you do. You just put his foot on the rope and then you sulk or
what would you do as a chicken shit heel?
I just think there's different ways to do it.
I'm going to make something very clear here. Finn Balor is a fucking loser. He is a loser. Of course he is going to do the easiest possible thing to break this up. It is hilarious that I live in a world that Finn Balor is now the de facto leader of the fucking Judgment Day. This guy, where have you been, viewers of WWE? Born loser. He has been nothing but a loser since that makeup came off. And he was losing then. It is... the image of them all together on the fucking screen with Carlito looking dumb as hell. Like, how are you a part of the Judgment Day? Just there with that apple of like, is this the Judgment Day we're supposed to be fearing? And like, they're going to be chasing against to be like, we'll get even with you, Judgment Day. You will. You'll do it quick. Both Rhea and Priest should be able to mow through them. No problem. Even with the numbers they have.
I think they could have done something a lot different, a lot more impactful. I just felt like there was no impactful moment. You could have had Finn Balor come down and not even take a beat and crank Damien with a chair when everyone thinks he's coming down to take out Gunther. You could have done something else. But
God, loser.
And how many times have we seen that?
Sammy did it the best, but we've seen that a million times, but Sammy did it on Roman a year ago at the Rumble, and it was perfect. It can be done.
The thing I liked about the finish was that it was different. And I liked that Damian Priest only found out about it when he saw it on the replay.
I will give you that. That was very creative.
And then he immediately went over and grabbed Finn by the throat whilst he was looking like he was shitting his pants. Or I think he was trying to look mad or something. I don't know what the hell Finn was doing.
What do losers do?
Which is then when Gunther grabbed him and choked him out. And the
got the strap. So thank God Finn did one thing right in his WWE career.
And the little bit they did where Damian Priest didn't go out the first time in the sleeper, he fought back a little bit, and then Gunther cinched up on him and was like, "No, fuck you, you're going to sleep." Loved it. I really enjoyed everything about that match, including the questionable booking in some people's eyes.
It's another great story to fill out your weekly programming.
Oh, big time.
Yes.
Big time. That's why one of the main reasons why I tuned into Monday Night Raw on the following Monday. What's the next chapter of the Judgment Day? Is the Judgment Day even still a thing? Definitely still is a thing. And we just heard Monday Night Mike's comments on it. So
how do I forget this? Monday Night Raw. This is my takeaway from Monday Night Raw. Finn Balor called Damian Priest a loser. Insanity. That's probably the most active I was, because UK Tom watches behind. He doesn't want to be friends with us. He doesn't want to watch live.
No, I don't want to.
He can't stand commercials.
Yeah,
so
I'm not doing
friendship
commercials.
Is out the window.
The like, first hour was commercial free.
Yeah, it doesn't.
There was no commercials.
Care less.
So he watches on his own accord. That's probably the most I texted Scotty during Raw. Because Damian Priest sounded like he was getting ready to rap the entire time. Like, he had bars to spit to the audience. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Second Finn got on the screen and called him a loser. I'm like, no, can't wait for the pod. Can't wait for the pod. Finn Balor calling anyone a loser is insanity.
Oh,
it's
great.
Insanity. People who are not going to show up on this podcast, guaranteed. Finn Balor. he will not want to be here. Maybe with UK Tom and Scotty, but he's like, Monday Night Mike is fucking out. And I'll dupe him, and I'll bring Kabuki Mike in for that one.
He'd wear the paint.
That's right.
He wouldn't know it was you.
Again, it's exciting that you're filling out your programming. The story's not bad. I think it's good to have Priest and Rhea align. I think that's going to bring some interesting mixed tags. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to. And Finn Balor will be on my TV, and I will watch on Twitter and still say, you're a loser. You're a loser. I'll mention it every chance I get. His name comes up. I will let all of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast faithful know. Finn Balor is a loser. You go back to all the matches you want and be like, but Mike, he won here and here. I don't care. He is a loser. Moving on to the main event.
Oh, goodness. That was great.
Now I know what it's like.
Every once in a while. Listen, man, you know what happens? You stop drinking, you get all this energy back.
Hey, I'm getting you a beer.
I'm going to throw you water. I love this.
I'm the new straight edge.
Straight edge and hardcore.
Yeah, that's right.
Next up, the main event.
Cody Rhodes versus Solo Sikoa for the Undisputed WWE Championship.
Hey, we saw our old armed Anderson back in the WWE.
Glock Anderson in full effect.
It was a Bloodlines rules match. You should have given him a Glock. We wouldn't have had to then sit through 30 minutes of Solo fucking Sikoa.
See, there is times where I want you, the listener, to see our group chat during these moments. And then I realize that's probably not a good idea for some
terrible
viewers.
Idea.
Yeah,
we'd have no podcast anymore.
That's it. But when we said, they're like, you've got friends in the back, where I'm like, interesting. He's like, here comes Arn Anderson. He's going to shoot somebody. Didn't happen. That's fine. But what do we think of this match before all of it really broke open?
Oh, the match? Yeah. Oh, the match was pure ass.
No. Oh. It was not
Tom coming at him. I disagree, like, but get him, Tom. Get him.
That was the worst Cody Rhodes match I've ever seen outside of the best Cody cutter I've ever seen. But the match itself.
You got us both.
The match itself, absolute dog shit.
Whoa. I'm not in the dog shit camp. But from them working each other, it's not the strongest match on the card, but dog shit.
Ugh.
I mean, that's UK Tom coming out. Ugh. He must have just finished his Pepsi.
I have not. There's half.
Oh, he's back, baby.
I enjoyed the match.
You fucking enjoyed the match.
Yeah. I will say my nitpick about this match is it's not necessarily the match.
Is it the mask?
The mask is awful. It's awful.
But that's not my nitpick. It's WWE now, in my opinion, overusing the long walk from the back through the gorilla position and all that stuff.
It's not going anywhere.
I know, but the amount of times they did it on Monday Night Raw this week, I was like, enough.
I hate it.
I'm over it. I don't need to see it. I really don't need to see it. But I enjoyed the match. It wasn't the best match on the card. It was about middle ground for me. I didn't like that I heard somebody, it might have even been Cody, saying Bloodline match rules. You know, last time we did this, there was a lot of other people got involved. Now I think we're going to step it up. And they definitely didn't step it up. There's no bigger people coming out that someone that's bigger than The Undertaker or The Rock.
But they still could have had fun with it. Can you imagine if Tongaloa was in the ring kicking Cody in the tits and the horseman music hits and Arn Anderson comes waddling out and hits him with Vine Buster?
You know what? You're right. Like, SummerSlam acts as a big show, so treat it as such. But I mean, did I need to see Arn Anderson fucking waddle out there when he was talking to Cody? I'm like, this guy's fucking wasted. No disrespect, Arn, if you don't drink anymore, I don't know.
All the more reason for him to waddle out there.
Yeah, to make a huge mistake on live. On live
that PLA. Aisleway is way too long. He's getting lost halfway through and saying fuck it and going back.
Yeah.
And
but you know what? In terms of people who came out, Hunter using the roster. So let's use the guys we have. I think like the Kevin Owens pop was great. I think people were really happy to see KO. I think we all were.
Yeah.
I popped big for KO.
Why did it take Randy Orton 15 years to get to the ring?
Why is Randy Orton strutting his stuff like he's about to start another match that's going to happen somewhere? Like, down there, man.
I agree. Get down there. But this new phenomenon of everyone singing a song again is the big thing. And I think he was just like, oh, they're singing my song. I'll take my time. I'll slap some hands.
There
I think
is
everybody
a
was down
fucking
in the ring too.
Match where, like, you're needed.
I know.
That's your buddy.
I know.
Also, did you notice that Tongaloa fucked up every single thing he did again?
Oh, yeah, wow. His stock is dropping real fast. Real fast. Like, look, buddy, if you're going to wear an eye patch, I've said this already in the show, gimmick it so you can see through the fucking eye patch.
Well,
you're bad.
They might as well put an eye patch on both of his fucking eyes and see if it improves things.
Oh, man. And like, you guys saw my rant about fucking Finn Balor is crazy. People get murdered in this.
Like, literally, take that guy off of TV. We know there's more Samoans and Tongans coming. I'm not one for spoilers, but we know they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that fucker off TV with a new one. Nobody will know.
Nobody will know. I agree. Set him back to wherever developmental he needs to be, or just
fire
maybe
him.
Find another job. But
fire him.
I agree. It's I had high hopes for him, but it's just not good. He's just
anywhere.
He's just got to take a beating, right?
We got to talk about Jacob Fatu.
We do. The real shining star of that new bloodline.
I didn't like the way he initially got in the match. Cody had him up where Cody had Solo for the Cody cutter. And then you see Jacob run in, climb to the top rope, and then do like a moonsault splash kind of thing. But Cody watched him do it the entire time. I was like, you could have just hit him in the back of the head.
I mean, you go tell Jacob Fatu to not do a flip.
No, I love Jacob Fatu, and I'll give him this podcast. It's fine. I love you. You're good. Creative gave to you, I didn't like, but you executed it perfectly. But
good save. Jacob Fatu for me was the shining star of this main event. Like, he saved the whole thing for me. And
Jacob Fatu looks like the kind of guy who may or may not have tried math in his life.
Well, there's a reason that WWE had to pull strings to get him into Toronto for Money in the Bank.
I agree. Like, I think he's so exciting to watch and just like a physical specimen, right? Like, his moveset's incredible, what he can do. Let's talk about the injury of Jacob Fatu now that we're on it before we wind up about the doofus. Scotty V is convinced it's a work.
All a work.
I'm now in that camp.
It's a work.
Yeah, good. Because Tom, it sounded like UK Tom was pretty worried to begin with.
He's a hell of a seller.
He's a great pro wrestler.
But now, thinking about it, and I also saw some things on Twitter, not like confirming it was a work, but they had a good point about that they kept Roman and him apart.
I said the exact same thing in the group text that night. I said, that's how they keep Jacob away from Roman and Roman away from Jacob. They don't want him to touch yet.
I may have ignored that.
It's fine.
Fine. You say some stuff sometimes, Scott. Like when you're talking about Sami Zayn, I'm fucking gone. I have no idea what's going on there.
You know, I put my heart into everything that we say.
Homer Simpson goes off to Flat Meadows. That's Mike.
That's it. Yeah.
Jacob Fatu crashes out through the announce table. It looks like he injures his shin or his knee or his leg. So he's out. Both Cody and Solo are down in the ring, and obviously we know what happens next. The return of the tribal chief, Roman Reigns, to a massive, massive pop. Everyone's got the ones to the sky. And this is an open arena stadium, you guys, and the crowd was deafening loud for the return of Roman Reigns. Comes out, hits Solo with the Superman punch and the spear, gives Cody a little wink and a nod. He heads on back. What do we take out of this for what's next for Roman? We're going to see him on SmackDown this week. How much are we going to see him? We're going to see Paul Heyman with him. Or is this just a tease and Roman's going to go away for a little bit again? Mike, what did you think of the return of Roman? What do we think?
What do we think is going to happen on SmackDown? I don't think he's going to show up on SmackDown.
Why is that?
Did they advertise him for SmackDown?
They did.
Did they say he'll be there? Well, yeah. Fuck, then it's already out the window. I would hope he wouldn't. I hope he lets Solo and the New Bloodline come out and cut that promo. Have Paul come do some work for Roman. He doesn't need to be here. Remember, he's the original tribal chief, or one true chief, or whatever the fuck they're putting behind his shirt. Paul could be doing that work. We don't need Roman. You just got your hellacious pop at SummerSlam. Whenever you come back, that pop is going to be the same. Have some Wyatt Six magic. Stretch this out. Have them get fired up. Have them get worried. Let's see that new bloodline shake a little bit and see the cracks, right? Like, is he back? It sucks now that they're saying, like, here comes Roman. Like, right back in the fold. But you guess what? If they're advertising him, Scotty, like, then he's back. Like, I think his vacation is done and he is ready to get back into the fold.
I need Roman to be back on TV for the next couple of weeks. But I think within the next couple of weeks, if not even this weekend, he needs to get a beatdown.
Beatdown's got to be coming.
It's got to be coming. That's why I kind of think, like, maybe we don't see Paul Heyman this week. We see just Roman come out. I don't want Cody anywhere near this quite yet, but that nod towards Cody by Roman at the end, maybe there's something there to just keep teasing throughout the next few months. But I don't know how this is going to go because Roman's by himself. He doesn't have anybody. He doesn't have any of the Usos. He doesn't have Sammy. He doesn't have Solo. So I'm curious to where this goes.
Think with where we think this for Survivor Series.
True. I definitely think we're going there, but I don't think we're getting there tomorrow, you know?
No. Jimmy Uso's got to be back soon.
I'd hope so. I'd hope so, but again, it's 4-on-2 instead of 4-on-1. So
drop him back in, right? Like,
so 4-on-2 for a couple, and then A decides he can't brother him up anymore. Jay and Jimmy back.
We saw SmackDown guys on Raw this week, so to me, it just makes sense. Like, send Sammy and Jay over.
To make them, I mean, it's true. Like, it's going to come back to that original bloodline, right? Like, that includes Sammy. I agree with you there, Scotty. Like, it's going to end up, you got to have the apologies and go through the whole shit. You're getting a baby face Roman back, right? Mm-hmm. But then after you do that, and the bloodlines are now, we've decided who the real bloodline is. How do you get back to Cody Roman?
I think
because Roman is a fucking baby face. That pop just said it. They knew it the second it was over. This guy is not a heel anymore.
I think it comes down to the rubber match. They've each won one. And both Cody and Roman are guys that have a bit of ego that go, I need to know that I can beat you, that I'm better than you.
Do you save that for Mania?
I think
3 years
yeah.
in a row?
Well,
no, we're getting Rock and Roman at Mania.
Rock has to come side with New Bloodline.
True.
In four games.
Yeah, it's perfect. There it is. Like, there's our. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the weird part is now with Roman coming back, turns out Roman was fucking awesome all along. Probably should have beat Cody and not let him finish the story. How that's rad would have that been again?
How many times do you want to get me fired up today? Fuck.
Well, all right, because take a breath, all right? Scott,
it's your blood pressure.
You're a Cody fan. Mm-hmm. What's Cody going to fucking do?
That's where I'm very curious. I don't know what's next for Cody.
What's your undisputed world champion going to fucking do?
Here's my crazy booking.
All right.
Survivor Series, we get the war.
Yeah.
And see then at the Rumble, we get Cody and Roman. And The Rock fucks Roman out of the title, leading to Rock and Roman at WrestleMania. Now, who the fuck Cody faces, I could give two shits, but...
But see, that's the weird part, because like Rock made it very clear they had unfinished business, him and Cody.
Mm-hmm. And coming
and Hunter is and Hunter is really good at tying all those loose ends together.
Do we get a triple threat?
Fuck, it may have to be. That's nothing wrong with that.
And that would actually be better for The Rock.
I think so.
Oh, for sure. The breaks you get to take, yeah, you don't have to actively be in there and doing it the whole time, but I think the triple threat's the way to lean for that program, but we just have the stretch now. So it's nice. We'll get Sammy Oos back. The fans will love that going into War Games.
Yeah.
The Usos back together as a tag team. Thank fucking Christ. Because main event hasn't done shit, won't do shit. All he's doing is eating up the place. Get him back in the tag team. Give him the fucking tag straps again. They're a fine tag team.
Well, the Usos versus Tama and Jacob would be interesting.
Yeah.
It'd be so much fun. So much fun.
You know what? This is the kind of stuff where you're like, the main event picture is okay. Yeah. Like, that's good.
It
all comes down to like having Roman come out at SummerSlam. I mean, it was kind of the worst kept secret because we all thought Rome was coming out at SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. But it really worked out. And I think programming going forward, great. I won't watch on Monday or Friday nights because holy fuck. But I SummerSlam, in terms of storytelling, like I know we say it and everyone's probably sick of it when they listen. They're like, these guys used to really like AEW. Like, yep, I really still like to love AEW. It's pretty hard to do it.
I'm wearing an AEW hat right now.
But it's hard to fucking like something where there's nothing driving me to the programming.
Yeah.
Stories are working in the Fed, and then the matches pay off. Unless it was this Cody solo before the shenanigans happened, because Tom thought, dog shit.
That, without irony, that match might be the worst matches of the year.
Whoa! Jesus. Buried! Shovel out!
I don't believe that. We all saw Jimmy versus Jay at WrestleMania. We all saw that.
I didn't say it was number one.
But you're putting it in that category. That's stiff, brother. That's stiff.
Man, yeah, it's like you second or hurt third. Scott so bad. You could see it on his face. A single tear almost fell out.
But
it did fall out. You just can't see it.
Not my Cody.
And and I think everybody knows this is probably coming, but why the fuck did they add that to the beginning of Roman's music? Stop fucking with people's music.
I didn't mind it at all.
I'm here. You never do. You never do. You love it.
I don't love it. I just thought
I'm only here for fucking top. You're the one person who likes AJ Styles' new music. You're the only one.
I think AJ likes it.
Fuck off. He probably doesn't even like it.
You know, the one.
Why?
See?
Oh, shit. Well,
I love you. This has been a very emotional episode. It really going to have something to do with the heart again, probably.
Yeah. A back sore from this one. Carrying this fucking show.
Oh,
with true passion and true love.
Oh, my God.
Of professional wrestling. Each and every week.
Fuck you.
Guys, let us know what you think of the show. Let us know what you thought of SummerSlam and all the matches. Did you enjoy it? I'm giving it an A-. Like, that's where I'm putting it. I love this show. And I'm probably going to go back and watch a good handful of matches, if not the whole thing, this weekend again. So, great show. At In My House Pod, that's where you find us on the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You guys are doing a great job at hitting the share button. Keep that up. keep getting your friends to do it as well. Same thing with the downloads on Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you're finding this. We're working on getting this on another major platform as well, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, thanks for all the feedback and all the love. Make sure you rate, subscribe, download, all that fun stuff that you do with podcasts. Just keep that up. But fellas, great, great show. Biggest party of the summer.
Biggest party of the summer. Remember, when you comment, do it with all your heart, guys. Scotty V will really appreciate that if you just did it with all your heart. And keep that smile. We don't want to see you guys lose your smiles.
Yeah. I mean, my internet towards the end of this one was making me lose my fucking smile.
Yeah, so you guys go ahead and you give all the hate comment to the technical difficulties to UK Tom. I think he's freezing up right now, even as I'm telling you to hate him.
For UK Tom and his internet, for Monday Night Mike, I am Scotty Villa. This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.